Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives, fall in. You've come to the right place. Army Wife Talk Radio is the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind, providing the latest reports, stories, interviews, and more to encourage and empower you on your military spouse journey. For Army Wives, by Army Wives. Now, here are your hosts, the Army Wife Network core team.
Welcome to the show. We're so glad you could join us today. I'm your host, Caroline Schaefer, and you're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind. This is show number 657, and today is Monday, July 23rd, 2018.
And good evening. I'm your co-host, Debbie Cunningham. We have a great show planned for you this evening. Our featured guest tonight is retired United States Army Staff Sergeant Travis Mills. Travis is a
recalibrated warrior, motivational speaker, actor, author, and advocate for veterans and amputees. Connect with Travis on social media, Facebook at SSG's Travis Mills, Instagram at SSG Travis Mills, Twitter at FSG Travis Mills, or visit his website, www.travismills.org. Also coming up in just a few minutes, our News 6 Courtney will be calling in with your need-to-know news. And if you're listening to our show live right now, we'd love for you to join us in our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with the AWN core team. Head over to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and be sure to use the hashtag ArmyWife to participate. All the links mentioned in the show tonight will be additionally posted in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com.
Tonight's show is brought to you by your AWN core team. We are a dedicated group of volunteers who are passionate about empowering you in this military life. Get to know us through our bios on ArmyWifeNetwork.com, or you can follow each of us individually on Twitter. Get a behind-the-scenes look into our Army life, too. We're just like you.
Debbie, I'm so glad to be hosting you, and I don't know what I did, but I'm glad I can hear you now. I'm so glad you're back. So what's been going on over on, since you're like on the other side of the Fort Bragg area, and I'm over on this side of the Fort Bragg area, what's going on in your household?
Well, besides all the crazy weather of storms and stuff we've been having, I'm looking forward to a summer vacation. I don't normally do them on the scale that we're about to, so I'm really excited. My family and I are headed to Europe, so really thrilled. We've never done anything on this scale, and I'm going to finally go see my active duty son and his wife stationed over there, and we're going to take some time and get to see Europe through their eyes and just have our last huge family hoorah together, because my daughter is going to be a senior in high school. And so after this, I'm like, guess what, guys? I'm not paying for anybody else to go to vacation anymore. You're on your own. So this is our last big vacation on Mom and Dad's tab.
Wow. So can you adopt me for just this year? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I mean, I've been to Berlin, which that area. But you're going to Italy specifically, aren't you? I mean, you're going to other places, but are you going to Italy and where else?
Yeah, well, we're just going to stay in Italy because my son is, he's going to have some leave, but not really. So it's just kind of, you know how the Army is. And so we're just going to do day trips and maybe an overnighter. And we're going to just, but, you know, there's so much to see and do in Italy. We're beyond excited. And again, it's all of my kids together and my husband and myself. So something we haven't done in quite some time. And just to have us all together, because I don't know when it's going to happen again, just thrills me to pieces.
Wow. So how long are you going to be gone?
About 10 days.
Wow, that's exciting.
So just enough to get excited. And then get done and we're like, okay, we're going home now. I'm ready.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that sounds super exciting. So if we host again together or whoever I want to hear about your trip when you get back. So, you know.
Absolutely. I'm sure I'll be giddy and have all kinds of stories. So enough about mine, because I won't have a lot to talk about until after it happens. What's going on in your end of Fort Bragg up there?
Oh, actually, we are moving on post in, what's today? Today's Monday. So in 4 days. But we've been here a year, and now we're moving on post. And we're downsizing. Thought the college kid would come back and visit. I don't think that's going to happen, which is fine. But, I know last time we talked, I was talking about something personally, you know, that I guess the empty nest has made me kind of do some soul searching. And I had this realization that I had these little kind of pockets of anger that I was hiding. Well, not from myself, of course, but from other people. And I think with myself, I was kind of in denial that I had them, because I see myself, I'm a nice person, right? And I'm transparent and I'm genuine. But I realized one day, there's only really one person that experiences the anger, and he lives here. and you know, it's not all the time. He's like, oh, it's that, you know, what day is it? But, you know, put the hormone thing aside and being in my late 40s, there's kind of this, I kind of got sick of it. And I thought, like within myself, I thought, okay, what is going on? And I realized I had some fear issues, fear of rejection, fear of failure, that I just hadn't dealt with. I just kind of Band-Aid covered up, you know. And I said, well, we're not going to do this anymore. And I have this great therapist in town, and because I am all about, if you have a great therapist who's like one of those objective friends, that so they're not really worried that you won't ever call them again, you know. And then the books I read, and plus I have prayer time. In fact, she was like, I don't think you have anger issues. And I said, well, see, guess what that tell you? It's because I hide them. I want to be angry at somebody who's listening to me talk. I mean, you know, so it's been kind of nice. It's been kind of one of those things where I realized if maybe I've had a friend or two maybe try to tell me and I didn't listen. And I know that a lot of times we'll say things like, especially with kids. So you have young adult kids. So how many times do you hear, oh, you have to just let them learn it? And for me, when I hear people say that, I go, but what does exactly that mean? So I can either learn it the hard way, right? Or I can learn it from someone else's experience. So either way, I'm going to learn it, right? And I think the idea is to listen to people who are, well, so even at 47, I need to listen to wiser people. It doesn't mean they're older. They could be younger, who are honest. And those friends, not the ones that are honest because they're mean, not those people. But, you know, there's the people, like you and your sister are pretty close. And,
yeah, we are.
You know,
and
so
being able to communicate with somebody else who's going to be real with you and, you know, let you be real. And I think, like you said, the empty nester, or as you get older and you go through these different stages in life, you are able to explore these things that we weren't able to, one, when the kids were little and we were super busy, or two, following hubbies around through their military careers, or, you know, whatever the situation was that took a huge chunk of our lifetime up. And now that we have some free time, we can get to explore that. And if you do it, I won't say right, but if you choose to do that and to invest in yourself, it's what a gift, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That you give to yourself to explore those things that were building up or deep-seated and whatever. And now you get to do it, and hopefully in a healthy way, so that you become a better person in this next stage of your life, you know? So kudos to you.
Thank you. I expect my 50s and 60s to be way better than my 30s and 40s. That's just me. I'm just keeping it uphill here. Keeping it going uphill. Oh, my gosh. So I know we could, like last time, we could sit here and talk for how many hours? No, we can't. But I know there's some really cool stuff. I love some of the blogs in this. And then the other thing I'll let you talk about in a few minutes, but there's a really cool blog by experienced contributor Kathleen Palmer. And I'm going to read a little bit of what she wrote because she takes pride in being a military spouse. Well, yeah, you know, I do too. I'm going to guess you probably do too. Yeah. She said, here's a little of what she wrote. As we just celebrated the mother of all American holidays, I can't help but feel a sense of pride in being a military spouse, especially an Army one. My pride in this fact does not always manifest itself in an over-the-top, we can do it, hoo-ah mantra, but in all honesty, I have flexed my biceps during a few solo PCS moves and deployments. Lately, that pride I feel comes from getting to know my fellow spouses and their unassuming strength and courage. It comes from seeing their sacrifice and service and the way they handle things with grace and grit. And to read more of this story, of Kathleen's story, head over to our blog at armywifenetwork.com and look for her post, The Mighty Military Spouse. I feel like I need a cape when I say that. I just want to share that right now. even though you can't see us, I feel like I need a military spouse cape.
That's a cool image, Caroline. Cool image.
Thank you. so you've been a military spouse for just a little bit. Do you have aspects of it that you're proud of? Yeah, just a few years. Yeah.
You know, I thought about this. I did read that blog, and you know, for me, it's proud, of course, of the honors and traditions that, you know, people in the civilian world never get to see, when, you know, all the ceremonies, whether it's retirement ceremony, promotion, change of command, all those things. And one thing that I think I'm very proud of is the fact that I was able to expose my kids to that, and we took them to them. And so they have grown to have pride, and they, you know, can conduct themselves in those kind of situations. And it makes me proud to know that I'm raising these little American citizens. I say little, they're big now, but, you know, and those things mean something to them now too. And I'm just so proud of that part of being an American citizen and a military family, that we can do that, because so many people, you know, who are Americans don't get to see that, and those honors and traditions that are such a huge part of our military culture.
That's very true. Yeah. Yeah.
What about you?
I think Wednesday I will be receiving an Iron Mike award pen. I don't really know.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. And it's a little weird. It feels a little weird getting honored. And then my husband told all these people, and I'm like, oh my. But it does kind of bring up that, wow, as a military spouse, this is, you know, recognized for volunteering and helping out other spouses or other families, or just helping out in general. And yeah, there's a sense of, it's almost, can you use the word humble pride together? Because it really comes from a sincere kindness. You know, so your husband has been in how many years?
He was in 26.
Yeah, and mine's been in 16. So when I meet new Army spouses, and they have that look on their face, and it just, you know, it's really, it kind of makes that swell up and go, it's going to be okay. You know, you're going to be okay. We'll get through this together. Kind of like what she was talking about, you know. We come alongside each other. Yeah. Oh, it's so sweet. Well, is there what else going on? The thing I didn't want to share that I know you're going to share on AWN this week.
So, you know, on this week at HOT on our AWN Instagram, we shared a graphic, and it says, you know you're a military spouse when you know not to really start planning a PCS until you have orders in hand, and even then it's iffy. So can you relate to that whole, you know, got orders but you don't, or you know you're going to have something you don't, and or as I think Sherita Lift say, the no plan plan, things are always, we're planning for something and it doesn't happen.
Yes, and I love her PCS story. Oh my goodness, she's so funny. I have to, since I like to be honest, you know, we've technically only PCS twice. So I've never experienced that. But I live vicariously through everyone else who has, and I see it all the time. But yeah, no, I've never experienced that. But I say yet here. I haven't experienced it yet. What about you with 26 years?
No.
Did you guys go through it?
Again, we haven't had that specific thing happen to us. But, you know, I guess we always just kind of knew to not, you know, just to wait till something was right in hand and we're actually doing it. So I would just, mm-hmm. you know, kind of hold breath, but not really until I knew it was happening, because I just didn't believe it was going to happen until it was happening. If that makes sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, isn't that kind of the first, like, that's the first rule the minute you become an Army staff. Oh, by the way, for the rest of, use pencil on any planner. Right, with a big eraser,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
plan to not plan to plan. And you got to learn to be really flexible. It's like
yeah.
if your planner was a yoga routine, that would, that's just what I'm seeing. You know, you just kind of ready, move. No, just kidding. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
let's see. Yeah. Oh, okay, so, listeners, a quick reminder that the links to everything we've talked about tonight will be posted in our Twitter feed and in the comment section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. Now we're going to take a short commercial break, and up next is our News 6 Courtney, bringing us your need-to-know news. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Life, our family, our soldier. News you can use. Now with our headlines, it's time for your Army Wife Talk Radio Live News 6 Report.
Welcome back, listeners. We have our News 6 Courtney on the line, bringing us your need-to-know news. Hey, Courtney, what do we have in the news this week?
Well, hi there, ladies. According to MilitaryTimes.com, starting next year, service members who have been in the military for more than 16 years will no longer be able to transfer GI Bill benefits to their dependents. This is a change to current Pentagon policy that has initiated mixed reviews from military advocates.
Wow, Courtney, this is a big news piece. So can you give us some more details on when this will be effective?
I agree. And yes, Debbie, the 16-year cap will be effective in 1 year, and we'll be making other changes, quote, to more closely align the transferability benefit with its purpose as a recruiting and retention incentive, according to a statement.
Courtney, actually, before I ask the question, my husband's a retention NCO, and he was like, this is exactly right. This just came out. And I said, I know. We are. So I want to tell you, you're doing a great job, and this is great information. Thank you for coming out, for sharing it with us. But who is currently able to transfer their GI benefits?
Oh, you're very welcome. And currently, service members with at least 6 years under their belt may still transfer their benefits to a spouse or child, provided they agree to serve in the military for 4 more years. However, effective immediately, service members who are not eligible to fulfill the additional service requirement, including because of mandatory retirement, higher tenure, or medical issues, may not transfer their benefits. The 6-year minimum requirement is not changing.
So, Courtney, what does the decision-making timeline look like for service members and their families with the new change?
Good question. So DOD spokeswoman Jessica Maxwell said, we understand that it will take some time for service members and their families to decide on transferring benefits. So by giving them a 1-year window, we believe it will give them an ample time to gather information and make decisions.
So Courtney, has anyone else expressed that it is either enough or not enough time to decide?
Oh, yes. Eileen Huck, Deputy Director of Government Relations for the National Military Family Association, said the organization is appreciative that DOD is giving a year's advance notice of the policy change and recommends that service members who think they may want to transfer the benefit take advantage of the lead time. Military Times is reaching out to military organizations for comment and will update the story as additional information becomes available.
Courtney, thanks so much for bringing us this story. Listeners, please stay tuned. After this short break, we'll be talking with Travis Mills, joining us to discuss his New York Times best-selling memoir, Tough as They Come. We will be right back.
Hey there. I'm Crystal Niehoff, owner of Army Wife Network. Army Wife Talk Radio is the longest-running podcast of its kind since 2005. And we're now in our 13th year with over 60,000 listens per month. We're proudly a talk show, not a rehearsed or edited podcast, and powered entirely by volunteers who are just like you, sharing our military spouse journeys with you because we're all in this together. AWTR strives to provide an interactive experience with relevant information and exciting guests, so you come away from each episode informed, encouraged, and empowered. Army Wife Network truly is your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Thanks for listening.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events, things that we couldn't afford, thanks to VetTix. Every empty seat at a concert, a game, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Visit vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
A product or service to offer our listeners?
Reach thousands of military families worldwide via Army Wife Network.
ArmyWifeNetwork.com has a limited number of sponsorship opportunities available.
Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com/sponsorship
or email us at info@ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Caroline Schaefer.
And I'm your co-host, Debbie Cunningham. Joining us tonight is retired United States Army Staff Sergeant Travis Mills. On April 10, 2012, Staff Sergeant Mills of the 82nd Airborne was critically injured on his third tour of duty in Afghanistan by an IED, or improvised explosive device, losing portions of both legs and both arms. He is one of only 5 quadruple amputees from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan to survive such extensive injuries.
Travis now lives an inspiring life as a quadruple amputee, His heroic journey was documented in the award-winning documentary film, Travis, A Soldier's Story, and he has written a New York Times best-selling memoir titled Tough As They Come. Travis speaks across the country, motivating others to live by his motto, never give up, never quit. And his foundation recently completed the construction of a fully adaptive veterans retreat in the Belgrade Lakes region in the state of Maine, where he hosted over 89 combat injured veterans and their families this year. For more information about Travis, you may visit www.travismills.org.
Welcome to the show, Travis.
Well, good evening. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the time.
So, can you tell us where you're calling from this evening?
You know, I'm calling from Maine. My wife and I reside up here in the great state of Maine, where she's originally from.
Awesome. I've never been to Maine. So, can you tell me what were your reasons for joining the military?
Well, I had a girlfriend who had a boyfriend I didn't know about. And I moved home from playing college football. I had, you know, had to do something different. So I joined the military. That's the funny part, by the way. You can laugh. I tell jokes. But, no, I just, you know, I was playing some college football. I decided to, you know, go back home, try something different. I didn't like being in the debt that I was in. I wasn't really focused on school as much as I was focused on football. And then I started looking into the military. My dad was in the Army, you know, just for 4 years when he was younger. So I didn't really know much about his service. But you know, then I looked into it and I found the airborne infantry and the signing bonus was amazing. And I thought, that's like the change I need right now. That's what I need to do to get out of my school debt, but also just like go and try something, spread my wings and fly, if you will. And I joined up within 2 weeks of talking to the recruiter and I was off to basic and away I went to get my training at Fort Benning and then went to airborne school and then off to Fort Bragg, North Carolina I was.
Wow. Yeah, my husband was at basic at Fort Benning a while back. So the Sand Hill, got a little
oh, yeah.
Fort Benning, and, like, and my goodness gracious, so hot down there. Well, I thought Fort Bragg's pretty hot too. Yeah. Well, yeah, so when you were, I'm just going to jump into this question because I'm super curious. When you were deployed to Afghanistan, I guess, how long were you here with 82nd before you deployed? And then what happened on April 10th?
Yeah, so I did three deployments. So I joined in 2006, and I went overseas for 15 months. And then I came back, and I went overseas again for a year. And then I came back, and I went overseas for supposed to be 9 months. And while I was over there, my wife was at home in North Carolina in our house in Rayford with our daughter. She was 4 months old. And 2 months in to my appointment, I stepped my bag down on the ground and it hit a bomb. And, you know, we swept the area. It was all clear as far as we could tell with the minesweepers and everything. Not once but twice, to be very cautious. And, well, when the bag hit the ground, underneath it was a bomb. And my bag was heavy enough to connect the circuit and it went off. And I hope not too gruesome, but it took my right arm, right leg, and it never found those pieces. They disintegrated. I got thrown to the left side of my face. When I rolled over, I saw the aftermath of what had happened, and my left leg was dangling. If you can imagine your ankle bone touching your thigh, because the bone was snapped, but the muscle and tendon were there. And then my pinky and ring finger were mangled up, but I still had my thumb, index, and middle with a big gash in my wrist. So hit the ground, left side of my face. I rolled over. My left eye started to swell shut. My medic ran up to me, and I told him, you know, hey, you're not going to save me. Don't worry about it. Not because I was hoping or wanting or wishing to die, just because I've seen a lot of guys die for a lot less, I thought. And he just said, let me do my job and put tourniquets on me with my platoon sergeant, Sergeant Hambright. And when they got tourniquets on me, I was able to radio my LT with my left hand that was left and say, hey, I need your medic for mine. I got two guys over here injured. And Doc Boyce ran over to fix those two guys while Doc Bateson worked on me. Then came over and talked to me, and they put a stern in my IV and it got me on a helicopter. Got me to the operating table where I was trying to stand up still. I kept telling nurses and doctors, I got my feet back underneath me, like, get away from me, I'm fine, leave me alone. And finally they were like, you know, I don't know how you're still awake, but you need to go to sleep right now. And they knocked me out. And then I looked at the nurse that was talking to me, and I said, my little girl, am I ever going to see her again? Because at the time I had a four-month-old. And then they took me into surgery. Nine doctors and seven nurses started to work on me. They undressed me. My left leg, what was attached, you know, detached. So I was a triple amputee. and they went to town for 14 hours with two nurses pumping air in and out of my lungs for 9 hours straight. Just, I mean, that's pretty impressive. They could have loosened one tourniquet and I would have died. But instead they went ahead and decided, you know what, let's go ahead and keep working on this this young man here. And they gave me 30 blood transfusions. They had to get people to donate right from their veins right to me because I ran out of blood at the blood bank. And then, you know, they medically sedated me for 4 days. That was in Kandahar where they worked on me first. Then I went to Bagram 2 days later on the 12th, and they cut my left hand off because the skin had died, or necrotized, they called it. And then 2 days later in Launchville, Germany, they woke me up for the first time. And my brother-in-law was in the room with me because he's in the military as well. And that was my 25th birthday when I found out I now was a quadruple amputee.
Wow. Wow.
It's a lot to digest.
Okay, so,
I'm a motivational speaker, yeah. So I'm sorry about going off on it.
No, you're fine. You're right. No, I'm still back on the – you used the radio and called someone after you had – I mean, is it – can I say after you partially blown up? Is that –
No,
right,
I was fully blown up, but partially, yeah, oh, yeah, it happened. That doesn't bother me.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I was laying there, and I told the mech, leave me alone, don't worry about it, and he went ahead and decided to fix me, and I didn't know what to do, so in my head, I was just telling myself, don't freak out, you know, don't let these guys' last memory be of you crying for your mom like in Saving Private Ryan when the medic got shot in the movie, and I thought, you know what, I'm just gonna keep pushing, so I kept myself calm. Matter of fact, and Doc Voice is a friend of mine, but Alex came over, and he was kind of so worked up over everything with the traumatic injury that I had to my body. He kept trying to reassure me it's going to be okay. And he got caught stuck on repeat saying, you're going to be okay, Sergeant Mills. You're going to be okay, Sergeant Mills. You're going to be okay, Sergeant Mills. And I had to actually say, hey, Doc, it's fine. Just do your job, bud. I know. You guys got me. And no hard, you know, no, whatever happens, you guys did your best. So I was calming them down.
Yeah.
And not that they weren't doing their job. He was doing his job. He was just trying to, like, reassure me it was going to be okay. And after about the fourth time, I realized the same sentence over and over. I said, hey, bud, it's okay. You got this. Because it wasn't my choice if I was going to live or die at that point. So I might as well make the best of the situation.
Well, and so you said you stayed awake to the point where the doctors and the nurses said, so we're going to need you to go to sleep for a bit now. And then they worked on you. Did you say 14 hours?
Yep, 14 hours. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then you woke up in Germany, right? Am I getting this right?
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm.
And your brother-in-law, who's also in the military, was there, right? So had at this point, I'm guessing you hadn't talked to your wife yet.
No, and when I woke up, I was pretty angry and embarrassed, and I was upset, you know, questioning, like, you know, am I a bad person? Does God hate me? Did I do something wrong in life? Why would this happen to me? And, you know, and I can be fully honest. I was questioning, you know, how come I didn't just die? How is this going to be better? And when I came to, I looked over at Josh, and the first thing I said to Josh when I looked at him was, you know, my soldiers, how are my soldiers? And he told me, you know, Ryan's here, Brandon's there, this is their injuries, they're going to be okay, but they did get dinged up a bit. And then I said, am I paralyzed? And he said, no. I looked at him again, I said, Josh, you got to lie to me. I can't put my fingers and toes, so you can tell me the truth. Like, am I paralyzed? And he just told me straight, he's like, no, you're not paralyzed, ma'am. She don't have him anymore. And then for about 3 hours, I mean, I didn't want to talk to anybody. Like, he would ask me questions. The doctors would try talking to me. The nurses, I wouldn't talk to. I mean, I don't want to talk to anybody. Too embarrassed about it. But then, you know, am I going to be a burden? How am I going to be a husband? What's my daughter going to think about me? You know, who would want a guy like me? And then finally, he broke the silence. He was like, hey, you got to call your wife. You got to call your parents. So I called my wife. I said, hey, babe, what's up? Love you. And that was about it. I didn't want to talk to anybody. And my mom and dad, I kept trying to get out the phone as quick as I could, you know. And before I hung up, my mom said, hey, Travis, happy birthday, by the way, because it was my 25th birthday, like, that day on the 14th of April.
Wow.
But I did
put
on a fake facade.
No, go ahead.
Well, I made one more phone call that day, and I told my brother-in-law to find my unit's number in Afghanistan. I said, I don't care how you do it, but find it, please. And he did. And I called my guys, and I used to sing after every firefight we got into. I'd sing the 82nd song because I was an E6, so, you know, I was a senior E6, so I only had two guys, a platoon sergeant and a first sergeant, that were enlisted that outranked me. So I'd sing the songs that they hated just because they couldn't say nothing and have to just smile and walk by and high-five me. So if we got in a big firefight that day, I would come back and I'd, you know, be like, activated long ago in the days of World War One. You know, and the thing is, when I called them, I put on a fake show. I was like, hey, guys, I'm fine. Like, I appreciate your hard work. You know, Doc Bateson, Doc Voice, you guys crushed it. Sergeant Hambright, you know, thanks for letting me still be a part of, you know, this world, you know, and this life. And I'll be there when you guys get home. And I was all chipper. But, I mean, the truth be told, I wasn't chipper on the inside. I just couldn't let them think that I was down and out because I was a guy singing and dancing and always telling jokes.
Yeah. Wow. Well, so, Mike, I guess I almost feel like I can't jump to this question, but I have so many other questions now going through my head. And I just recently learned the 80-second song. I'm not sure if it's the same one. So are you talking about the one that's the – my husband said there's another one that's the bloody one. I was like, no, I can't.
Oh, Blood on the Rise. Yeah, Blood on the Rise.
Yeah.
Ain't gonna jump. Yeah.
Yeah, he played it for me. I said, you want me to learn this? Are you? No. He thought it was hilarious. Yeah. So upon this recovery, so you said you weren't, you know, you were angry there for a while, and then you kind of put on this facade. So what part of your recovery and, you know, was there one aspect that was the most challenging, or was the process, I mean, can you share that? Would you mind sharing that?
Absolutely. Okay. So mental was the worst part. Mentally not knowing what was going to happen, mentally not understanding why this did happen or how am I going to get better, what's left for a guy like me in this situation, was the worst part, because physically I was always physically fit, so putting in the work wasn't a problem for me. And then I saw my wife for the first time, and she, you know, I told her she should leave me, and she was like, that's not how this works. And my daughter, when she came in, I thought she was going to be scared of me and started to laugh and giggle and play, you know. And, you know, then I realized, you know, I'm not really weird to her right now, so I just need to get better. And it took about 2 weeks to really come to grips with everything and not be so like, well, this is awful and blah, blah, blah. And then I just realized, you know what, they might as well just bear down and get better and find out how they do it in this place, because, you know, Walter Reed's known for that. And then I met a guy in my same situation, Todd Nicely, a Marine Corps corporal who was a second ever quadruple amputee. And he flew in from Missouri, just said, hey, man, I live in Missouri. I drive, I walk, I feed myself, I dress myself, go to the bathroom by myself, and you're going to be fine. You're in the best place for you. You just got to want it. And we all know Marines are kind of dumb, so obviously I'm going to be able to do this no problem if a Marine can do it. But, no. It was,
you sound just like my husband. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well. You know, and the thing is, I don't worry, I'm not making fun of Todd. That this isn't nothing I wouldn't say in front of his face. I mean, he wouldn't get the joke anyways.
Sure,
he's like,
sure.
What? You got crayons or not?
Sure.
I want to eat crayons. So after I realized that it could be done, I decided I was just going to go for it and just get better. And my workouts turned into the 1 hour they allowed me to do every day, to 2 hours, to 3 hours, to 4 hours, to all up to 8 hours a day of occupational physical therapy. 40 hours a week, I was putting in as much as they would possibly let me, and the weekends were the worst part for me. I feel like I jumped ahead there, but, you know, it really was all about my wife staying and my daughter was being there, and not a lot of dads out there can say, I'm not sure, I've never met one, but I'm sure there's a couple, but can say they actually learned how to walk with their daughter, because my daughter just had started to learn how to walk when I got my legs finally, and we were walking around on my short feet, and I was holding her up, and I was able to walk with her.
That is so sweet. That is really, really sweet. Aw. I just went from still laughing to the Marine crayon joke, and now I'm like, aw. So after all you've been through with everything, well, okay, so the process, you said a couple of weeks to kind of go, hey. So was there a few years where are you more acclimated to things now? I mean, did that change?
Oh, yeah.
Or did you
did you
tell yourself, like, okay, I'm going to get this in 6 weeks, and then 8 weeks later? Or what was kind of your process for that?
No, I actually pushed as hard as I could. Like, I got everything early. I got my arm in 5 weeks. And, you know, I got my legs in 7 weeks and 4 days where I was walking again. They said I'd be there 3 years. I retired after 19 months. And I think 6 months was paperwork, you know.
Wow,
but,
yeah, probably.
Yeah, there we go. But, no, so, I mean, I just was, you know, I was driven, and I was fortunate. The reason I have the documentary, which is, you know, it's on Netflix now. Somebody's like, well, it's a documentary. It is on Netflix, called Travis Disorder Story. But the reason I did the documentary was people found out that I started going room to room as soon as I could to go visit people, because at Walter Reed, the worst you're really going to see, you know, is me, because for the amputees anyway. I mean, there's guys that have lost other parts that, you know, is definitely more sensitive or have been cut higher, and I get that. I'm not saying I have the worst injuries. I just know that when I walked in the room, there was one guy missing a leg below the knee, and he thought his life was wrecked, and I walk in the room like, hey, man, what's going on? He's like, holy crap, if this guy can do it, you know, then that's the motivation to get better. And I started taking parties up to the rooms where I was like, hey, you learn how to walk today. You bring your wheelchair. And we, you know, I think the highest I ever got was like 11 guys. At the same time, just going and meeting people in the hospital, letting them, give them a little hope, like, hey, you know what? It sucks what happened. It's not your fault. God doesn't hate you. You're not a bad person. You didn't deserve it, but it happened, and you're in the best place for you to get better.
That's really awesome. So after all this, would you join the military again? Knowing, if you knew this was going to happen to you, would you?
Oh, if I knew it was going to happen to me? No. No, I don't think anybody would. I mean,
here's
the thing. And I'll be honest. I mean, there are some of my friends I had there like, this is the best thing that could have happened. I've had so many more experiences. And that's probably true. I mean, I've probably had way more experiences now. Like, you know, I've met a couple of presidents. I've been honored at all these other places. I've gotten to do so many cool things. But would I take my arms and legs back and be an E7 right now, or E6 even, keep my E6 rank, but I probably need E7. In the military right now, I would definitely take my arms and legs back. No matter how much good things I do, I would take them back, because I feel like, you know, my daughter deserves to have me actually hold her hand and take her to daddy daughter dances. Or I have a son now. He's 11 months old. My wife and I are fortunate to have another baby, and she says we're done now, but whatever she says goes kind of with that department. But you know, I want to be able to be the
you are smart man,
spiral.
Travis.
Yeah, well, I've been married 10 years. I know when I get in trouble, she just puts me in the closet, takes my arms and legs away from me for a couple hours. You know, it was the corner, but I started getting out, so I'm just kidding. But, you know, going back, yeah, so, good. I'm glad you guys are, all right, good. But, you know, I wouldn't get blown up again. No, I mean, that's no way. Would I join the military all over again? Absolutely. But if I knew I could either, you know, hey, you can go to college and be an insurance salesman, or you can go in the military and get blown up in 6 years, I would take insurance salesman 10 out of 10 times. And I don't think that's selfish to say. I really don't. I mean, everybody says, Travis, how do you keep going? And life's perspective. Life's all about how you look at things. And I have some wonderful people that did not make it back home, and they left behind their wives and their children, and I always remember how fortunate I am still to be here. So it's not hard for me to have a good day and be the bright, chipper, cheery person that I am, because I have my wife, I have my two children, I can drive, feed myself, walk, talk. I'm actually a co-host of a morning radio country station here this week, which is awkward, but they asked me to do it, and I was like, yeah, what the heck? And then I run a nonprofit, I own a small marina lodge. I bought with a buddy, best dumb mistake I've ever done. And I also, you know, with the foundation, so and speak all over the nation for my own speaking business. So life's what you make it at the end of the day, and I'm fortunate that my support group was there, and I see the eye on the prize of what's going on with the people that didn't make it back home and the sacrifices not just they made but their families have to make now. And it'd be a selfish slap in the face if I gave up myself.
That's an amazing perspective. And I think, kind of that question is kind of one of those that's like, I mean, we can't like travel back in time anyways. So you kind of got it. You do, like you were saying, you have two choices. You can do the best with what you've got, or you can be miserable. And, you know, it sounds like you've done really well. And I'm going to try to watch the documentary, but I'll be honest, I don't like to watch anything that has to do with the war.
I can tell you, I get blown up in it, and then I get better.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know,
so because I'm talking to you right
bit,
now,
like,
I'm
going
to watch it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's done well. We've showed it at the Capitol building. We've showed it in Times Square. We made the, GI Film Festival winner out of 55 short films. And it's all the guys. So my son is named D-A-X, so it's Dax, and he's named after the two medics that saved my life. So Daniel and Alexander, I just meshed their names together and came up with Dax. So it's really an honor to those two guys. They're in the documentary, and the two guys got injured in the documentary, my brother-in-law. And, you know, it's really cool how it came together, and I'm grateful to be able to tell. So I just had to actually go to an event in Michigan this weekend, And the second event I went to, they did a documentary screening. It was a packed house. Like 200 some people showed up and watched a documentary that's been out for 3 years and all came up and got pictures, and it was just a really good time.
That's awesome. Well, I will definitely, my husband will be surprised because he was there for the invasion. He was infantry, and now he's a career counselor. Three deployments to Iraq and one to Afghanistan, and those long ones like you were talking about. So a commercial comes on, and I usually leave the room. So he'll be like, okay, where's the tissue? But I know the end of the story, so that helps. So thank you. Thanks for sharing what I already kind of knew. But yeah, but I guess we have to take a break and do the commercial thing. But when we come back, I would love to hear the advice that you have for our listeners in regards to facing adversity. So that'll be the next question. Okay.
All right.
So listeners,
good.
If you're
Thank
listening
you.
To our show, sure. If you're listening to our show live right now, we'd love for you to join us in our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with the AWN core team. Head over to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and be sure to use the hashtag ArmyWife to participate. All the links mentioned in the show tonight will be posted in our Twitter feed as well as the comment section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Hi, this is Wendy Baird Packard, and I'd like to take a minute of your day. Have you ever met someone you just didn't get along with? I had been volunteering for several years with a spouse outreach program. I had devoted hundreds of hours to this program. When a management change came, a new employee was in charge of volunteers, and we did not get along. He removed me from assignments and restricted my ability to volunteer, and to make matters worse, when I said I wanted to apply for a paid position, he snarked at me and said without any college, that was impossible. As I drove past the community college, I would think how mad I was, until one day I was so mad, I turned in and enrolled. In 2016, I completed my associate's degree in communication. As I opened my diploma, the mean man popped into my head, and a grin of satisfaction crossed my face. I look back and realize that if this man was not mean to me, I would never have been motivated to achieve. Because of that man, I completed a college degree, and because of that college degree, I was able to apply for and got a job I love doing very similar work that I was doing as a volunteer. The lesson here is, those people that hurt us or push us are really a blessing for us to go out and overcome the naysayer and achieve more. So next time you find yourself in a situation of, I really don't like you, look at them and say thank you, because in some way, they will make you better. This is Wendy Baird Packard, and I hope this helps your day.
Want to expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com, your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
Welcome back to the show. We are talking with retired Staff Sergeant Travis Mills, who is sharing with us about his heroic journey as a quadruple amputee. So before we went to break, Travis, I was asking if you could share with our listeners how they can face adversity. You know, what kind of steps
absolutely.
Do you have, specific steps you took and stuff?
You know, I'm going to be 100% honest. I don't know if I took specific steps, but I've learned a couple things along the way. I'm not proud of this fact, I'm going to tell you, but you know, in the Army, they don't tell you can't talk to mental health, but it's also like, you know, don't talk to mental health, if you will. So when I was in the hospital, mental health came in to talk to me, and I was sleeping the first time. My wife said, oh, mental health came in to talk to you, but you were sleeping, so told them to come back. And then I said, well, I don't want to talk to them. I'm not talking to anybody. And then the lady came back again, and Kelsey looked at me and goes, mental health's here, so I faked like I was sleeping. And a third time she came back, I was eating a bowl of Cheerios or cereal, sitting up with a makeshift arm on, looked over and saw who it was and went, crap. And I fell back and went to sleep right there on the spot. And she came up and talked to me, and I gave her my name, ring, and social. And she was like, huh? And I gave it to her one more time. And I say, that's all you tell the enemy, so you can take that and leave, or you can just leave. I don't care what you do, but I'm not talking with you. All right, my wife should have told you I don't want to talk to you. So as far as getting help that way, I don't recommend anybody take the steps that I took. But if you're facing adversity and you have problems, there's a couple life lessons I've learned. My first deployment that I went on that had combat, I guess my second deployment, I had some real combat in. And one day was supposed to be 5 hours long, and it took 36 hours long. And everything that could go wrong did go wrong, and I ended up to the point where I was either going to laugh or cry. So, I laughed it off because, of course, I'm a big, tough, brave 82nd Airborne Super Duty Repair Trooper infantry guy, so I don't cry because I'm not a big sissy pants. But I realized in that moment that you can't always control your situation, but you can always control your attitude. And when I got blown up, it took me, like I said, 2 weeks. But then I realized, you know what? I can't control this. I can't control that I have no arms and legs. I can't control that, I got blown up, but I can control my attitude. And I made sure that I had the best attitude and outlook possible, because I knew that my daughter's looking at me. My daughter's believing in me. My wife's here by my side. Why be grumpy and angry and mean about it? And there's nothing I can do except for try to push forward. And the next thing that I have learned, or I tell people, is Matt, as much as I'd like to close my eyes, click my heels, if I had them, but click my heels 3 times and say, there's no time like with arms and legs, or some kind of saying, and go back in time, I would, but I can't. So instead of dwelling on the past and really thinking, like, why did this happen? Why don't I have arms and legs anymore? This is just the rest of my life. I realized, you know what? I had 25 great years with arms and legs. I really did. I had one bad day, but 25 great years. So I reminisce the past. I don't dwell on it. And I've had 6 wonderful years without arms and legs, so I might as well just look to the future and make it bright. So I guess when you battle adversity, if you can just control your attitude, understand that you can't control every situation, but your attitude is very key. And then also realize that no matter what's happened, you can't go back in time and change it, so you might as well just reminisce the good stuff and forget the bad, because, you can't take it back anyway.
Well, yeah, that's true. It's very true. Well, I mean, I wrote down, you can't always control your circumstances, but you control your attitude. Because I do have a college student right now. I do.
Oh,
and I like that.
Yeah. Well, I've been very fortunate, actually. Who's joining what?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I've been fortunate that some colleges have picked my book up for the freshman read. So all incoming freshmen have to read the book, and then I go and speak at the college. And I think they're seeing some positive results of, some of the students that read it and how they kind of, look at life, or how they see their first year, and they don't get as flustered, I guess, or as upset because they've read my book or met me at a speaking engagement. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. Yeah, it's hard with the phone lag. Sometimes it's hard to. I'm saying something and all that, but I was going to say he would join the military, but he has celiac. So, in fact, you made the Marine joke. I'd taken him to visit the museum, and he came home wearing a Marine shirt. My husband was like, well, I can't take you to get ice cream now. So,
right.
Yeah,
right.
I know. Yeah.
So Travis, can you tell us a little bit about your foundation?
Well, I can tell you a lot about the foundation. My wife and I at Walter Reed. My wife and I at Walter Reed wanted to give back. So many different nonprofits out there. I mean, the Gary Sinise Foundation, Semper Fi Fund, some local ones to the area with Trucking for Troops, and they're just doing wonderful things, trying to give back. Operation Hat Trick with Dot Sheehan, if you guys have ever met her, but just great things, trying to give back and help military families and do stuff. And we did care packages my first time, for first year, I guess. We thought, let's give care packages overseas. Guys I know in their units will send some stuff that people really want. Because when I was over there, and I did appreciate it, but they had, socks and baby powder and toothbrushes. And, all the stuff that's, that's cool. But I sent beef jerky, Orbit gum, peanut butter M&Ms, because, they're delicious and amazing. And we sent, all stuff. I was like, if I got this in my box, I'd be super excited. Like, pepper jack cheese and Hillshire Farm sausage and spicy mustard that you get in the holiday packs. Well, we did that. And then I went to Colorado, and I went downhill mountain biking and kayaking and canoeing. And I got the chance to go snowboarding a different time. And I thought, man, this is so great. And as I was there experiencing these highs of independence, I realized, you know what? because of the funding and how it's lined up, a lot of these spouses don't get to go. And that's okay because, you know, you got a fund to get as many guys and men and women that are injured out there doing these activities. And only a select few need a non-medical assistant. So I needed a non-medical assistant. So my wife came. And I thought, you know, we should do something for families. I mean, I think my biggest thing is my family that got me through this. You know, I mean, obviously my wife, my daughter, my parents, my in-laws, you know, everybody's coming together. But I thought, you know, family is the biggest key to getting better for me. And being able to do things adaptively just really, you know, helps me, you know, feel more independent and know I can do things. So we decided we were going to bring some families out to Maine, and we did that. And it went so well, we did it another year. And we deal with physical injuries only. So we deal with the paralyzation, amputation, or spinal cord injury type things. And what we do is we bring them out to Maine. We did 2 years on the renovation on the building, this retreat that we built. And it happens to now be 11,000 square foot facility. Wayfair.com donated like $275,000 in kind donations for the furniture and furnishings, sent out a personal designer. And we had local people as well as big companies just come in and help donate. So now we're fortunate to open last June. We brought in 8 families per week. There's 8 suites, so we can hold 8 families at a time. And we did 84 families last year. We've also did some caregiver things. And we had our last week that we did last year was a week before Christmas. We brought in families from Texas and Florida affected by the hurricanes. And some of the kids have never seen snow. But we bring them up there. We show them a barrier-free place with no limitations. And we show them how to do kayaking and canoeing and archery and horseback riding. The boating and tubing and fishing. And just so many different things that, you know what, the person that's injured, whether father or mother, they don't sit on the sidelines and watch everybody. They're engaged. They're regaining their independence. They're you know, finding their courage to get back in a kayak, even if they're missing 2 legs. And they're finding their strength to go on and be an active member with their family and society. And that was a huge thing for me. You know, I want to be there, not watching my wife and daughter, but participating with my wife and daughter, you know, and son now. So that last year was 84 families. This year we are fortunate 126 families are coming out for our 16 weeks we're running. And we're going to keep growing in size and doing wonderful things. And you know what? I'm very fortunate that I can say our board is all volunteer. So I'm the president. I have my father-in-law as the vice president. My wife is on the board. And we have 3 other board members. And nobody gets paid a dime. Nobody takes money from the foundation. And we all just do it because we want to give back. And it's been a very big success because we have people out there that support us and believe in us. And you know, if anyone wants to check this out, obviously the website is travismills.org, but I can always use more Facebook followers. So if you type in SSG Travis Mills, you'll find out all the fun videos that my wife and I and my daughter and my staff and everybody out there that we do. So, I mean, the other day my son, he's 11 months old, he was driving my boat. Today my daughter was marketing at the marina. She bought a pair of sunglasses for her. And she put a Lakeside shirt on and told everybody there was ice cream down here. So, you know, it's just fun family stuff that we do. But it was all based around the belief that, you know what, these people that have been through so much should be able to go out there and feel confident and feel comfortable in a setting where they can try these things. Because I'll be honest, I'm very comfortable in my own skin. If you stare at me, you know, I'll have some jokes. Oh, my gosh, 4 sharks one time. Can you believe it? Or my, you know, like with the kids, I tell them work with Iron Man, so they're not afraid. I got jetpack legs. My right one, because I don't wear an arm on that side, I have it, but I don't wear it. I say it's full of missiles, so I have to leave it at home until Iron Man calls me. But I thought, you know, Travis Mills, brave, no fear about people seeing my scars and stuff. I went to Great Wolf Lodge in Massachusetts thinking, I'll get in the water. I got these little short feet, right? And I have to take my arms off when I go in the water. And I was like, this ain't going to happen. 300 kids running around with 600 adults staring at me and watching. I was like, nope, I don't want to do that. And I don't want to embarrass my daughter either. I'd rather just sit there and watch them enjoy. And that's the beauty of our place is, you know what, nobody is going to sit there and stare and be like, oh, my gosh, look what happened to him, because everybody looks the same. And I want everybody to understand it's not that we don't believe in PTSD, the Travis Mills Foundation, or TBI. It's not that we don't want to support that. People that reach out to us with those issues or symptoms or problems they're struggling with, we actually have built a wonderful partnership with Home Base Program, and we get them connected to Home Base Program, which is the Boston Red Sox Foundation, Harvard Medical, and Mass General. And they're the leading in the nation, I believe, with the R&D and health and recovery of PTSD and TBI. So It's not that we don't believe in it. It's not that we don't want to cater to it. It's just that, you know what, we're not going to reinvent the wheel. We have professionals that are partnering with us that know what they're doing, and we want to get you the help that you deserve and that you need, and we want to make sure everybody is just getting taken care of.
That's amazing. I mean, it just good works all the way around. You know, the veterans getting help and accepted and all that stuff, families in on board too. I mean, it's amazing. That's a great thing that you guys are doing out there up in Maine. Can you tell us also about your New York Times best-selling book and your award-winning documentary?
Yeah. The book is truly just my story and kind of goes in great detail. You'll find out it's kind of I was a fun, but yeah, a troublemaker in some regards in high school. Then it goes to playing football and then college and, then it goes to the military and how I loved it and what I was doing and how I got blown up and how to get better. But, you know, it just kind of all came together. People always, you know, want to know my story. I'm not saying like being cocky or arrogant. I mean, just people kind of wonder when they see me, like, ooh, what happened to that guy? And this was a way for me to be able to tell them, you know what, this is my story, is what happened, and it's how I got better and battled through the adversities and challenges that were thrown my way. And, you know, everything about the story is, you know, I like it. Everything about the story is 100% true in the book. But the most important part to me is really the author's note. And it basically just states, you know, if you serve, thank you for your service. I didn't fight any harder. I didn't do anything more brave or, you know, anything more heroic that day. I just had a bad day at work. So if you serve, you know, in any of the branches, thank you for your service, and I appreciate it. If I could rewrite it, I would say the next line up to the Vietnam era veterans, I want to make sure you understand that I'm grateful that you took care of us, made sure that we didn't get treated the same way that you did, and welcome home. I wish we could change history, but we can't, and I appreciate you sticking around and fighting for me so the nation will never forget how you were treated. And then the next part of the author's note, you know, that part I wish I would have added, by the way, but the Vietnam era veterans. But then the next part of the author's note, I tell people, you know what? We all have problems. I don't think my problems outweigh anybody else's. I don't think my story should ever dwarf your story or make you feel like what you're going through isn't as significant or as important. We all have something we're going through. And I understand that. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh my gosh, really tell me that tell me how that's a problem compared to mine. Because I think everybody deals with things differently. Now, I'll be honest. The lady that looked at me is like, oh, I was having a bad hair day, but then I saw you, and I guess it's not so bad, you know. And I'm like, well, I don't think that those really go together. But, you know, if someone's going through something trying, you know, whether it's minuscule or it's a huge problem, I don't downplay anything that anybody's going through, because we all have something we're going through. And I'm just hoping my story and my spirit, if you will, of how I handle things and my drive can help people maybe, you know, see a brighter side to what they're going through.
So real quick, before we have to close out the show, I want to make sure our listeners get a chance to hear where they can learn more about you and your foundation and your book, all your Facebook stuff, everywhere we could go to find out about you.
Absolutely. So travismills.org for all my website, store, the you know, things like that. If you want to get my book, you type in Tough As They Come on Amazon. It's cheapest there. That's where I would get it. But, you know, just travismills.org, and then on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all that, it's just at SSG Travis Mills. And, you know, I'm just grateful and thankful for the opportunities that I have and my family for being by my side, my wife for staying with me. You know, when I told her to go, she was like, you know, I thought about that, but handicap parking, you know, I kind of want to try that out, so I'll stay. But, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But either way, no, I'm just grateful for the time tonight. I appreciate all that you do, and both of you do, and you guys have been around for 13 years, which is incredible. And I think it was, that's what I heard on the radio anyways. I was doing my research. But I appreciate the time. And, again, travismills.org or on Netflix, just type the name Travis, and my documentary will pop up right away.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, yeah, so it's already saved in my Netflix. So, Travis, thank you. I know we could probably keep you on for – a couple more hours and talk, but unfortunately we only have a certain amount of time. But I want to thank you for joining us this evening and sharing your story with us.
Oh, I appreciate you having me, and thanks for your time, and you're doing some great work here, and I hope people enjoy this. If they don't enjoy it, you can fully blame me.
Well, okay.
Well, okay, I mean, truth be told, I'm the one that was talking, so it'd have to be me. Anyway, thanks so much. Sorry, I know I'm talking over you. Have a great night.
No, you're fine. You're fine, Travis. Thank you. Listeners, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Join us next week, July 30th, 2018, when our featured guest will be Dr. Julie Kinn, joining us to discuss the new Department of Defense educational podcast series promoting better health. It's going to be another encouraging and empowering show. You don't want to miss it.
And in the meantime, join us on ArmyWifeNetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
We are your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
Thank you for tuning into Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. And inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.